All right, good morning. This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting back to order. President is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10:30 agenda item, and it's a meeting with DSD staff and workshop. So take it away.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. Sabrina Minshall, Director of Development Services. We're back. Feels like we were just here talking about this, but we're back. Our goal today would be to either make changes or have your approval with the way it is with the changes we made to be able to do a summary publication tomorrow, send tomorrow with the Press Tribune so we can get to the November 7th P&Z meeting. That would get us back to you the week before Christmas to finalize.
Okay.
You have two paper copies in front of you. One is a very pretty color-coded document we'll walk through, and then I gave you a clean version as well, depending on which you prefer to kind of work off of.
And I highly compliment you on the John Deere yellow and green. I think it's just so applicable.
What I originally sent to Bozzoli's to look at was actually bright blue, but it prints really dark, so we did change it to yellow.
Yeah, that's Ford tractors, but yeah.
Those yellow. Very ag-related, so.
All right, thank you.
So there's primarily two parts I'm going to walk through this of what is different from what you had just 2 days ago. And I did want to say thank you, even though he's not here, to Aaron and to Trenton, PA's office, and then I call him Aaron Devil, Aaron too. Just in the last 2 days, we have had some back and forth to make sure everybody had their eyes on it. Was there any changes? Kind of double-checked each other. So we moved pretty quick to get this back to you. The first is I'm going to first go through and just highlight the red lines. So the red lines, if it's underlined, is where we made a change based on your direction or legal did another quick review. So I'm gonna look off the pretty color-coded one. So the first is up in section one, purpose. We added, it just basically says now, the purpose of this ordinance is to comply with an Idaho state law passed during the 2024 legislative session, Title 67, Chapter 97, Agricultural Protection Act, period. Deleted all the section under that, which was actually what the state had said it was intent.
Perfect.
Section two, the red line underline, was just, we spoke through with legal. What this will be doing is amending a new article into Chapter 7. So it'll be Chapter 7, Article 9, an Agricultural Protection Act. Okay. So it'll be in the Chapter 7, which is your zoning, but it'll be a separate article so that state law changes it, something else happens, we're just working on that article.
Perfect.
All right, so down to page two, and I did put page numbers on it this time to help a little bit. So second page, this was a little bit more because you see the colors. So really the only thing that's redlined here is you kind of see about three quarters of the way down, there's little white boxes with the red line. This is where we just took out the or forest. So you had just said, please take out the reference to the forest since we don't have any of those.
Okay.
So that's the only red lines on that page.
Perfect.
Page three, the red line change that you directed at the very top. This is about if, when the recommendation comes from the APA Commission, we added the line in the form of proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law. So they're coming in a written format. So according to state law, if you do not act or whatever the case is, we have a document that can then be recorded if it defers to their decision. If
Perfect.
You follow the rest of the law and you're hearing it making the decision, they're just proposed, just like you get from P&Z.
Right.
And then, let's see, about four lines down, you can see the red line right before the dark green. We just took out the word or forest.
Right.
And then the bottom of page three to the top of page four, this is the language about remand. I took it straight out of our chapter one language where we could remand it back to planning and zoning, just changed it to APA Commission, and was clear that it is if there's a substantial addition, amendments, or modifications from what was presented to the APA Commission, or if procedural steps weren't followed. So use that exact same language, just change it out for APA Commission.
Okay.
On page four, again, the red line, section seven, so about halfway down the page, we titled section seven early termination hardship, and then you can see section eight below it is actually review and termination, the 20-year termination. So the new language that is at section seven is the part that I think Commissioner Brooks, you were also asking about. It's just to be clear that there's some strange language in here that if it's for hardship, They have to petition and confirm the removal date is 10 years from the date of the petition or upon expiration of the designation. And then early termination shall only occur providing the landowner of undue hardship. So this is actually, we just pulled straight out state law, put that part in here about early termination, and then adjusted the Section 8 about termination below. So it was just straight from the state law since it does have it in two places and it's a little odd. The other part that you see underlined, which is blue just because Aaron added it, so it was a different color. Section 8 says, if the landowner desires to continue with the APA, no action on the part of landowner is necessary, and the Board of Commissioners shall automatically renew the APA for another 20 years. That is the straight law language. And then what we adjusted, you can see it was based on your directions right below. If the landowner desires to terminate the APA, written notice to the Board of County Commissioners is required at least 90 days prior to the expiration of the APA before the Board of County Commissioners terminates the designation. And so you can see Aaron's note to the right that he just rewrote that to make it tracking. So Section 7 and Section 8 just tracks right with the legislation.
Okay.
Because it is a little, it's a little circular in the legislation, so we just called that out.
Okay.
Those are all the red lines that you all directed.
Okay.
Why don't we stop and see if you have any questions on that? And then if not, I'll just walk briefly through the colors that you asked us to do. And then Trenton's also here if you have other legal questions.
Yes.
I just wanted for clarification, 90 days was set by state statute on the, no?
There's not a 90 days in the state statute. That's where you all want to say, well, we wanted some sort of notice they weren't going to continue. So Aaron put the 90 days in, but it's under that, if you're going to terminate, sit.
Yeah, and Chairman, we had a lot of discussion, and I'm trying to shorten my words. I'm not sure I'll be successful, but do we have to put anything, like, what if they get up to the day before and they don't want to go forward? I mean, 90 days is 3 months. Do we care? Did you have a comment, Commissioner?
No, I agree with you, Commissioner. I don't. So what happens up 89 days before? I don't remember this being a request.
Double check the legislation. This was.
I feel like the 90 days is in statute.
That's why we're double checking. Part of our conversation we had on Tuesday was you guys talked about that staff would notify them they were going to, it was going to expire. It's under the termination section 8. So that's what originally we had in here was that the staff.
Yeah, would the 90.
90 days. But I think Aaron just did this straight to statute. So let's double check that.
Yeah.
Because originally our language was, do we want to tell them it's coming up for expiration? So even if we don't have that, it still could be notified, but let's double check that piece.
Correct, that's straight out of the statute.
Okay.
The 90 days?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
67-9708, subsection 2.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
That's the reason.
Mr. Chairman, we can still have an internal policy, though, that Development Services is going to reach out to these folks well in advance of this.
And you can put that in this ordinance or just...
Right. If one of these are to ever exist.
Right.
Right. And can we... Is there... I don't know who to look at. Is there a way to circumvent, like, in farming, you could have a farming accident. So, like, I'm not trying to exacerbate the discussion, but if they had an event within that 90-day period, I'm like, or what? You're gonna.
It's pretty vague, and this is just saying it's basically the law says it's gonna auto renew, right? It says you got to tell them that you're not don't want to do it. I think that's probably enough time so that then the process can kick back in to continue it. The hardship part it would probably fall back under the previous section, right? Because if they have a hardship, they can document it there. Input.
Yeah, I think we're covered with that under the hardship section.
Okay.
Apply for undue hardship and have it terminated.
There. Thank you for that. I mean, I should put that together, but.
So I think it's covered then under
okay.
The hardship issue. Okay.
There's also 67-9709, subsection 2. An owner of land within an agricultural protection area may remove any or all of the land from the ag protection area by filing a petition for removal with the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, that was the section that the PA's office moved back up there under 7, early termination for undue hardship.
But the way that state code reads, it's for, it doesn't have to be justified by a cause.
I don't, yeah, let me.
I'd have a little bit of problem with that.
So you want them to accompany their request with cause?
Well, it feels like we're requiring them to have cause when the state statute has an option that doesn't require cause.
Did you say under 9709?
Yeah, and then there's some.
Yeah.
So if you want to add to it.
Subsection 2 says remove, and then there's some qualifiers below that.
Oh, yes.
What I got from PA Bazzoli is, and for reading it, the termination is that if you're early terminating, it has to be for an undue hardship. If not, it's going to automatically renew at 20 years unless you want it to terminate. It's not that you can just come in at any time and terminate.
So,
that's the way that this is interpreted by our PA's office, because he added Section 7 and 8 separately.
And B states the removal date is 10 years from the date of the petition.
It has to be at least 10 years.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Who
wrote? So hardship is under subsection 3 of that same code section. So the board has to establish a process.
That process should be the most vague, open-ended process.
Well, that's why we tried to craft
existing.
To give you a lot of leniency in that.
Appreciated.
And that's why, back to Section 7, the termination, really, if you see what's in yellow and green, the yellow is direct. The green part just says the landowner seeking determination of the APA bears the burden of proof in demonstrating undue hardship. That's all we left it at. And remember, back to is undue hardship is already defined. So we basically just said, you got to give it to us in writing, demonstrate the hardship, and then it's back to you guys.
Okay. Are we okay then?
Yep.
Termination part is in a couple weird spaces in the state law, so.
And Chairman, I just want to, yellow indicates what's law.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You ready to go to yellow and green?
Okay.
My John Deere colors. All right. Board didn't like my monochromatic. Aaron really wanted shades of colors. We couldn't get there. Not this Aaron. Aaron was always. Okay. Yellow is things that are straight state law. Okay. Green are things that we have flexibility to. However, you've seen my notes on the right. For example, second page, the state law says you have to have application requirements. It includes a couple. It also says you have to have a timeline and you have to have criteria, objective standards. It doesn't tell you what they are. So if it's green, it's the ones that we are proposing to ways to meet what the state law said, and we kept those quite broad. So you had a lot of discretion as part of that process. So starting on page 1, all of those definitions are state law. Page 2, it's straight state law until you get down to the qualifications piece. And I'm going to pause because I'll show you what we have in here. The appraised as ag land with an ag exemption, designated as ag on the comp plan, and then zoned as ag, or not within a fourth mile of the area of impact. That's what we added as staff. One is because the agricultural land appraisal and exemption actually is the same definition that's in the state law. We were just trying to be clear because most people wouldn't know that's what it meant.
Okay.
But we did add the part about comprehensive plan and not within a half mile of area of impact. It was very similar to what came out of the Associations of Counties draft. Theirs just said not in an area of impact at all. Some were modifying. The reason we put the half acre here or the half mile here was because of what we mentioned on Tuesday. We're going through these area of impact expansions because of another state law or shrinking. We were trying to say, like, hey, if we get one in the next year, an application for an APA, we're going to have some buffer room because at the same time we're talking with cities about where they want, where they have, and where they can justify. So that part came from us.
Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question, and it has to do with, I guess, the significance of if you go to a bank and you buy a house, you have a 3-day right of rescission. If you go to somebody that wants to lock up your ground for 20 years, I feel like the same caveat should exist. And I feel like that whoever is submitting the application should say, I've consulted with a land use attorney, I understand, because with the amount of information we deal with, we do have people that say, that wasn't explained, I didn't understand it, why do I have to be held to this? And so I don't want to hold the indemnity bag. People have to put on whatever necessary information. So I would want a right to rescind within a 3-day period. That would be standard, maybe. I don't know if we can do it. And then something that says, I've consulted with an attorney, I understand I'm locking this up, and I will hold the Board of County Commissioners harmless. But basically, we have other areas of Title 67 that identifies county commissioners. I'm asking if that is possible, or if my fellow commissioners would consider that.
So, Mr. Chair, commissioners, I have a suggestion for the second part. I'm just going to buy Trent a little time to look at the rescission part. The second part suggestion is, in here, we wrote that the application should be on a form and content prescribed by DSD, because all the state law says you have to have an application. So we could put that kind of disclaimer on the application, like, by the way, here's the law. They acknowledge I read it. I know what this means. I know what it doesn't mean. And I know that I'm doing this on my own. So we can put that in the application process rather than the ordinance. Because then if and when the legislature changes it, we can rely on. So that could be an application piece.
Okay.
For example, another thing that we started requiring is an affidavit of ownership. So if somebody comes in and I want to apply on behalf of Jay, I have to have something from Jay that says, yes, I agree that you can apply for me. So that's just an example of where we are going to have some application requirements that make sense for us legally, but isn't necessarily from the state law. So that could do like the, yes, I know what this means. Like, yes, I read. Yes, I was told I could consult with an attorney. That might work for that piece. I don't know about rescission. I mean, it basically says once you make a decision, it has to be recorded within a very specific time frame.
You're doing two different things, Commissioner. Right. One is contract law, and this is not contract. This is a land use decision.
And I understand what you're saying, but I can even cancel an airline ticket within 24 hours and not have a penalty. I mean, that's not significant like this. I know what you're saying.
Pay extra for that type.
No, not.
It is not. That's not carte blanche on any airline ticket.
Well, I've used that, and I did not have a penalty. I'm just saying, not trying to be argumentative. Within 24 hours, you can cancel an airline flight.
I guess I would say, Trent, it's the section where it says after a decision's made, it has to be recorded.
Yeah.
Can we say for brevity today that could be put within the application? That the applicant is signing and acknowledging that within the application.
I think we could have that acknowledgement, yes.
Okay.
I don't think there's an issue with that.
Maybe here's a clarification. Are you talking about when they apply, they can change their mind with a period of time, or once the final?
Once there's a decision made, yes. He's wanting to have the 3-day.
Some period of time, like in the between of, I've made this, and now we have a decision, and I need to go record it, but I'm...
10 years.
Okay.
That's what the state law says, is 10 years. How could we, for the sake of brevity, could we have legal look into that?
Sure.
Start with this version and go ahead and start taking it through the public process, because you know it's going through recommendations and it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
So that could be something that if we're on safe legal grounds, we could add at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You might look at 10 years.
All I know, Chairman, is I've had a conversation with a land use attorney who said, I never recommend this. That was insightful. Okay. But it is a buyer or giver beware.
So
does that work for everybody?
That works.
In our back pocket and let Aaron have a chance.
That works. So on E, help me with that. My brain still cannot get around that. Zoned as agriculture on the county zoning map, comma, not located in, and if you took out the next comma area, would be not located in a city of area impact. Or you could read it, zoned agriculture on the county zoning map within 1/2 mile. What What are we trying to, show me how that's implemented.
It might be simpler to make a new F, right, so separate those two concepts. This is out of, I think, AIC's version, or IAC, sorry. Zone is agriculture on the zoning map, period. And then what it was saying is it's not located in or within a half mile of an area of impact.
That's more clear.
So it's really two thoughts, which I think is what you're picking up on.
Yeah, let's.
If you all want to say, hey, we want to take an application, whether they're in an area of impact or within the half mile, that is your discretion. This was just the starting point we brought you.
Okay.
Try to weed that out from the beginning. But I do think it would be more clear to separate the two thoughts.
I think it would be more clear to separate that.
That's easy.
That's an easy change.
Mm-hmm.
Just add
a good pickup. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
So the next section on that page two is just what, basically the law says you can establish an application process and what information they have to give you. It was pretty basic. It's like the name of the owner, what it's currently being used for, what facilities are going to be included.
Okay.
We added, for your consideration, the D through G, because we got to have something that goes to that APA commission and to you, and if they don't submit it, now you're talking about staff having to pull stuff up. And our intent from what we heard is, we're just compiling, taking a look at it, make sure all the pieces are there, cleans all up, and moving it on. So this was like, hey, these are all the things that you as a property owner need to bring to help make your case that's evidence. And it's not all-inclusive. They can add more, but it was basically just where's the baseline? And completely open if you want to see more or less in that section.
Yeah, I'm good with it mostly. On section five, here's what I don't like, the verbiage. Upon receipt, I think you need to change the verbiage, and my mind doesn't come up with the exact verbiage, but basically what I wanted to say, upon receipt of a deemed complete application, because they don't get to choose whether it's complete or not. We get to choose whether it's complete, and then we get stuck in going forward with all of that. But they could show up with a half filled out application, and they deem it, why aren't you done with it? Well, because we need to be the ones who deem whether it's complete application or not.
Great language. What we can pull from that chapter one language that we
yes.
put in for others.
Let's do that.
And this was a section that legal had added to make sure that there was a time period, that the 60 days didn't start right away.
Right.
Right. Is that even once we say, what we can say is once it's accepted, right, that's different than there. Once we've accepted it, what Aaron put in is like, it doesn't say we can't. So we're going to take 45 days. That gives us a chance to set a meeting, make sure everything's together. And then the 60 days would kick in for the APA commission because we were very concerned that was a really, really tight.
Yeah, that's too tight of a.
And so when he read it, he's like, there's room here. Like, we'll just say we get 45 days to do our stuff.
Okay.
But what I'm hearing you say is we'll just use the chapter one section and be clear that it's, once we've said it's complete.
Yes.
And then this stuff would go in.
Yes, we.
This language here, this green, is at the county's discretion.
Right.
What we were recommending, which was similar to IACs, but a little different, is we're saying, okay, if it's within a mile of the area of impact, so remember we've already said you can't apply if you're within a half mile. If you're within a mile, this is saying we're going to add the notifications to the cities and give them 14 days. The mile was just because we know there might be some changes within that. So it's really trying to say, hey, you're within the half mile, that's likely that something could change. If you're within the mile, at least why we're adding these 45 days is the cities get to at least know about it. So I would think an internal process is we could just notify the cities regardless, but we want to say at least if you're within a mile, it's in the ordinance that they get notified. If you want to say they get notified, the nearest cities get notified regardless, you could do that too. We just tried to add, you have discretion in this section. We were trying to be in line with all the conversations we've been having about working with our cities and not doing this in a vacuum. So that's why we added that.
Okay.
I'm going to just pause here because that's the part about how we apply. The next page is kind of the criteria. See if there's any changes or if you're fine with this kind of being our starting point.
It's page three, right?
Yeah. So...
Good to start. Go into page three?
Yep.
All right. So If you could see on page 3, there's much more green here. This is one of kind of like the only big green sections. The way state law reads is you have to establish, in my notes to the right, clear and objective standards for evaluating applications for inclusion in APA. And my second comment here was these other criteria are mostly from IAC's model ordinance. And then we looked at it, DSD and legal staff, and said, how can we make this broad enough that you can look at it from a site-specific way and that your FCOs can reflect the considerations you took? This is not like a rezone where you have to say yes, 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 yes. Okay, it's not that way. It's you're going to take this totality of circumstances. You can see the last line PA office added, which I thought was really helpful. It just said other local impacts relevant to the proposed APA. So it's a pretty big catch-all. Then the section below we also added, it says regardless of this, there can be conditions as part, because that actually wasn't addressed at all in the legislation. So we addressed it very clearly here that said, including things like if the Board of Commissioners wanted to approve, you could require additional setbacks, you could require specific improvements. The reason being is that if it's not done here, and Trent can weigh in, remember one of the impacts of the APA is you can't pass additional regulations on them once they're in an APA.
Once they're in, yep.
So we added this, thinking through like, what if it really made sense, but it needed some conditions and you wanted to try to be able to work through it? We left this as open as possible. And I think what I told you last Tuesday is I would encourage us not to get too worked up on individual words in here. It is a place that maybe P&Z can provide some input. This can evolve till it comes back to you. But my recommendation in talking with PA Bazillias is the broader we can keep this here helps everyone have good dialogue at those applications. And then there's also the ability to be a little bit more legally defendable in our FCOs.
Great.
Anything to add, Trent? He's so excited to be part of this.
I'm not part of that part.
Plausible deniability.
So I want to stop because this is really where the ownership of the process of how you're reviewing it, what the criteria are, this is where you've heard from others like, well, it's the county's choice. This is really where it comes as the county's choices. What is both the APA Commission and you looking at? And we cast a pretty big net.
Chairman?
Yes.
On number K, under the evaluation criteria, I guess I'm asking the question, are we sure we want to leave that in there? Agricultural production capability of the land, because so much of that depends on irrigation, soil, equipment, crops.
Mr. and Commissioners, that's why we put it in there, was because there would be such a wide variety of things for you to think and consider, because that about how can the land produce actually is kind of the fundamental part of the law. It's kind of like, is it going to produce ag? Like, that's in the definition of production agriculture. So it is, however, your discretion of how you would interpret that. I don't know if Aaron has any other comments. I know he looked through a lot of the, I keep getting IAC and AIC mixed up. I worked at Cities for too long. IAC.
I have no comments on this.
All right, we're more important.
Yeah.
So that's
better. We can't be dissolved.
So, I mean, however you want to word it, but it was intentionally left broad and not defined so that you could have that dialogue.
Yeah. Commissioner Brooks, did you have thoughts you wanted to share out loud?
I was just going to say, what happens if you truckload a whole bunch of dirt in? That was in reference to a that we had recently.
Well, there you go.
You're still stumbling on that.
Well, I'm just can make any piece of ground more productive. You truck in enough dirt.
Enough topsoil, yeah. Commissioner Van Veek, I see your caution. I would rather be able to have I'd rather be able to dialogue and debate about it as a board and have it available to us.
Yeah. And Chairman, here's the origin on this. I've seen this used really to beat landowners rather than assist. And the argument was against a split, saying that, well, you're only using the ground for this. At 67, you could plant a crop, which, by the way, would take 15 years to yield the first round. And I'm like, that's not the intent. And so all I'm saying is I want to make sure that the law is used for its intended purpose, not as a weapon against a landowner.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's up to the voters each election cycle if they're going to choose somebody who's going to be fair and judicious or who's going to have their own little righteous thing that they're going to march towards. So I think it will take care of itself, but
okay.
I think it would be best for us to be able to dialogue about that during our decision.
So, Mr. Chair and Commissioners Van Beek, one other thing just to consider is both in this language, but also in our own ordinance, is that it is actually also referring to grazing, right? It's
mm-hmm.
agriculture. It's not talking about just row crops. So I think that that's a place we kind of hear both sides of the argument, right? Like, I can't do anything else with it, but it's in grazing land, which is agriculture. So that's something we're going to continue to wrestle with in terms of where's that line.
Right.
This is broad so that you could have that conversation, right? I mean, it is possible that somebody could come in and apply to put this land in an APA because they're doing grazing, which might not be, as we're thinking, production crops, right? So
right.
I think it's going to be really site-specific and very specific to how the owner is saying they want to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why we kept it broad. I mean, if we want to change language, we certainly can. I think that's where you're going to see some of those conversations, you know, where people are grazing and maybe they have water in a different way because they're just grazing
yeah.
row crops. We see a lot of that in the very far north and the very far south of our county, right? I mean, I know somebody who knows a lot more about grazing than PSM input, but I keep trying to bring Aaron for
kicking and screaming.
Is it, and I'm just asking, but is there any provision in here, like a big part of particularly large production ag is the mobilization of equipment? And so where this it gives a half mile buffer, but I can think of a property that has probably that half mile, but it's heavily surrounded by development. And is that a consideration that we need to talk about on that?
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, it's a good question. The very last line, because it's hard to read in the green, it just says other impacts relevant to the proposed APA.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a like site-specific catch-all, like that might be relative in that location. We were having a hard time saying, well, what are all the possible
right.
things that might want to come into play in your decision? We said, here's some general ones that everybody's kind of looking at, and then, by the way, here's this other local thing. I mean, what if, for example, what if there's a school within a quarter mile of somewhere, right? That may weigh in on your decision. Or maybe you have some groundwater issues and it doesn't make sense for development, right? There's really going to be some site-specific, just like you have in a land use application. I think processing these are going to be challenging because it's going to have a lot of interpretation of what is appropriate and not. And the legislation does put that firmly in your choice.
Okay.
One of these broad enough that when you choose, we can be able to document the why.
Thank you.
But if you want it specifically, it can
be specific. I think, yep, because I think you're right, the challenge of getting everything. So thank you for highlighting number, whatever that is, M?
M.
It's an M. We couldn't make the green any lighter, we tried.
M and N.
Okay.
John Deere green. There you go.
Any other questions or direction of criteria? I would anticipate this will be a place where P&Z may want to give some weigh in, and so by the time it comes back to you, you might have some even better language or broader language that you could consider.
Right. I think so. I think for today and the brevity that we need to keep moving forward, it's good enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the rest of page 3 is the requirement with the exception of the bottom red line that we already went through, which was the, if you wanted to remand for some sort of substantial change, because as we know, we've seen some of those things happen.
Right.
Page four is almost all required straight out. Even the bottom part where we said in the blue writing, because that was a change, that's actually, as we looked up, that's should be covered in yellow too. That's was straight out that we added. The only parts that were added that were not straight out of state law is halfway down on section six. This is in the expansion. The expansion of an APA shall be contiguous to the original APA. It was kind of inferred in the legislation because originally it said if you had parcels, they had to be contiguous to apply.
Right.
So it was maybe a little vague enough that we didn't want to say, oh, well, I want to add something a quarter mile away and put it in this APA. We didn't want to set somebody up 10 years from now to have to interpret that. So that, and then we were just explicit, kind of matched the language on the bottom of section seven that we have in our chapter one, just that the burden of proof is on the applicant to show undue hardship, so that we're not trying to define what that is up front, that they need to come in and prove it. Those are the only two things that were not basically straight state law.
Perfect.
Page.
No, that makes sense.
All right, last page, page five. You see more green here. The green section in section nine is fees. See my comment to the right. The state law, and this is the quote, we must establish an application fee to cover the administrative cost of processing applications, including but not limited to reviewing applications, holding public meetings, and it goes on the case, updating the maps. And this is the same state language we always see, as long as the fee shall not exceed the actual cost of processing the application. So the way we covered that here, is you see that I added in the language about an additional completeness review fee, because that's on our fee schedule that you'll be seeing soon. So it's like, hey, if they come back and it's still not complete. Besides that, the way we addressed it here is it's going to be whatever's in the fee schedule. So when we bring the fee schedule back to you, we have calculated a number of what it is, but we want to make sure, the reason we didn't put in the ordinance itself is, let's say a year from now, we've had a couple of them, we realize it takes way more time or way less time or whatever the case is, that way the fee schedule can update it every year. So the other thing that I think is important to note here, because these fees aren't going to be minor, right? We want to make sure we're capturing what the time takes, is this legislation then does require that once it's approved, it still has to be put through the comprehensive plan. So it would require then another fee by the applicant to do the comprehensive plan amendment. And so that's why we left it as what's in the fee schedule. So even though there's not a lot of staff analysis, because it's kind of presumed that it's just going to get into the comp plan, we still, by section 67, 6509, we have to have integrity in that process through the public process. So our time, your time, PNZ's, it takes another two hearings, it takes it all packaging, it takes the public involvement process. The intention is if it gets approved, they still have to pay for a comp plan amendment, which is about, the new fee proposal is $3,200-ish for that. So your other option, and some counties are doing this, is you could put the fee straight in here now, but then you'd have to go in and change the ordinance every time versus doing it through a fee schedule. And I just think this is so new that even with the staff not doing a lot of analysis, we just don't know how long these things are gonna take. So I would wanna, I mean, I have an estimate. My estimate is about $1,400 to $1,600. I added up the hours for this part, and then our comp plan amendment's another $3,200, just to give you a flavor. But we just don't know until we know. And I think if there's any changes with the legislature, or if anybody's listening, if there would have been a way to actually include planning and zoning through the appropriate application process, you could have done an application for the APA and a comprehensive plan amendment at once from the beginning, rather than having to do a second process. But because it's taken out PNZ, and state law says you have to use PNZ for comp plan amendments, we're gonna have to go back through. So until we see a better way of doing that, we're trying to fill in the blanks. But I wanted to be very transparent on those fees, that it's, we don't know, but the time even for a comp plan amendment is a second round of time. So besides that, at your direction or questions, I'll bring up last here and then open the questions. The section 10 is just the enforcement. So you can see on the side, it basically just says you have to enforce it. And then it says nothing in this section will prevent a county commissioner from regulating CAFOs, facilities, industrial solar energy on an APA. The way we wrote that was to give, it was a little bit more in reverse. It said, unless otherwise approved by the BOCC, the land uses are prohibited. So it basically just said, unless the board specifically approves that you can do residential, commercial, manufacturing, solar, wind energy, you can't. And unless approved, which would be like a rezone or an exception, anything else that is not allowed in an ag zone through our land use can't be put into an APA. The reason we worded it that way is back to the way, what does it mean to be in an APA? To be in an APA means you can't pass additional regulations on top of it. So we are very clear to saying, but you still have to apply to the land use matrix, and unless the board approves it, you only get to do what's in ag, right? And unless the board approves it, you're not doing like wind, solar, those type of energy things. It was also to get us a bit of time because we need to update that land use matrix and talk about what are these types of facilities do you or do you not want to even be in ag. So it's kind of basically saying, not only for right now, the answer is you can't do that in APA, but also you have to abide by what's ever in the land use matrix. Because as we know, as we're updating our comp plan and our zoning matrix, there's new things that come out. There's ones that maybe aren't as compatible. We're trying a little bit of like which comes first. So this is an area, however, if you want to see this differently, you could do so.
No, I like it.
I do have a suggestion. Just in thinking about Commissioner Van Beek's comment about rescission.
If we bought enough time, we would come up with
yes.
The idea.
I think you could add it into the fee portion and just say an applicant is able to withdraw their application up until the point it is approved, but fees will be applicable. We don't want to go through all of this work and then the applicant to be, oh, I don't want to do this. And then we're out all those man hours, I think. You can rescind up until that point it is approved by the board. But if you do rescind, fees are going to be applicable.
Well, Mr. Chair Trent, I wonder that the way the fee schedule that we're proposing it before is you only have the 7 days to get money back. But somebody can, in any of our applications, they can withdraw. Right now, we come back to you and we say, how much of the work has we done? The new fee schedule proposes 7 days and you don't get your money back. So that could address that. And we could put it on the application, just says you can withdraw, but you have seven. I mean, that's on all of our applications once we pass that fee schedule. It wouldn't directly say what happens after you make a decision, like do they have 3 days after the board finally acts, but it would get us all the way to that point just through the application.
Well, I think it's such a long enough process. If they haven't withdrawn before it's approved, they're out of luck.
Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
I agree. Yeah, put that in.
Do you want it in this, or is it covered in the fee schedule?
In the fee schedule.
Yeah.
I'll have you look at the disclaimer and see what it thinks.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want any fees in an ordinance.
Agreed.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it was interesting to me that many of the counties we saw actually were placing it in there. I thought, wow, you amend ordinances.
That speaks of inexperience.
So any other questions? And I'm going to try Aaron again. Any other comments, questions?
Nope.
This is challenges it been in some ways. It's been a really good experience, at least on my half of working with Aaron, and to have different perspectives of eyes on something that, you know, when we have to comply, how do we do it in the easiest way?
Right. So do you feel administratively we can just give you the verbal go-ahead for advertisement because this has to go through the whole public process. This isn't carte blanche, the document that will, there's nothing to approve here because.
Right. No, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, from my perspective, and I would also get legal's input, this is very similar to we're workshopping ideas. We have a draft. What we would do is we would just do a summary publication in the Press Tribune. It'll advertise on Tuesday. So by Tuesday, we'll have a version that will get posted for the public, for P&Z. It'll come through the process. There's no action for you until it gets back to you after that P&Z recommendation because it's an ordinance in Chapter 7. You'll have public comment. We'll combine all that together and then come back with any recommended changes.
So we have a consensus about the changes we've discussed that they can go forward and do the publication?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I want to clarify that the only change I think what I heard was in Section 5 to be clear that it's once it's deemed accepted, not just the applicant approves. We're going to use that language.
Right.
I'm sorry, and then backwards. And then on Section 4, we were going to break out E about county zoning versus not within, not in or within a half mile of an area of impact.
Okay. Yes.
So those were the two I heard. Did you guys hear anything else?
That's what I had as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna remind just one more time, just because I want you guys to be, again, completely transparent. To get us by the end of the year that week, as soon as we publish this, which will show up on Tuesday, it's only gonna be about an 8-ish day written materials deadline before PNZ. But they can still come to PNZ and read that. You know, read whatever they want in. It's only about written materials, so they don't take late exhibits. When it comes to you, it'll have that full 2 weeks as well. So you'll get everything from PNZ. The public will still have an opportunity to, if they want to write it again or to show up. I just know that we may have some interest, and we want to be all clear on the same page. There's actually two opportunities here. One that, yes, is a slightly compressed for written comments, which we're under no obligation to do regardless. But then there's a second hearing and a second period if they want to submit anything. But we are going to have to hold tight to PNZ and to you that we're not taking late exhibits. Our Chapter 1 doesn't say we can. So if anybody wants to give us a lot of materials, they need to do in those deadlines, and they're clearly advertised. So if you get those questions, you can refer them to JRI. But that would be the time frame to be able to get there.
Yep. I'd feel guilty about it if we had created this monster all by ourselves, but we're just the locals who get to try to implement it. So they might consider that next time that they create state statute.
And I think it'll be quite positive that once we get this rolling into PNZ, which would be the 7th of November, and then back to you all, we may get some really good input from some of the farmers or others that may say, hey, we'd like to see X, Y, and Z. Then we'll be able to work with legal and ferret out and say, yeah, we have room to adjust that in ours of what you're saying as your input, or nope, that's just what the law says. Here's the names of your legislators. Like, we'll be able to kind of ferret out where and here is that impact. What do we need to share back with the folks that made the legislation versus what do you have the ability to adjust? And where's that ownership? So we're going to really encourage, and I think we can work there, and we're really encourage those comments, right? This is not
sure
you guys were doing to someone.
No,
I think there's going to be some miscommunication on that.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So when I attended the State of the City address yesterday, and it was a good presentation, but there was a lot of emphasis on agriculture, which is great. But my question is, do the cities have to put something like this together, or is this mirrored at the city level where maybe I got misinformation, but the majority of that expansion on an area of impact and the conversion of farm ground happens at the city level with different values attached to what is agriculture than what we do? So that's my question.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, maybe Aaron has this legislation specifically to counties, what the county has to pass. I think the only interaction that potentially could be different with the cities if you chose, and maybe there's counties that are, is that you still have jurisdiction, as you know, within an area of impact. So you could take applications within an area of impact. Cities don't pass any of that, but that would really hamstring them. I think that's the concerns they have is, well, it is. If you decided to take applications and approve something in an area of impact because it is your jurisdiction to do so, that could really impact their planning. But they're not required to do anything. We tried to circumvent that piece. We're going to have lots more conversations with our comp plan about area of impact. Some of it's in the definition, right? But if you're within an area of impact, then the new state law, the idea is that the cities will serve you. You are going to urbanize. That's different than outside of an area of impact. It's about timing.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's part of, in our comp plan, we've been talking about how are we clear that these are transition areas and when are you transitioning with the city and when do you need a pre-annexation agreement? There's some pretty good ideas out there of how we can handle these things differently.
Thank you.
I think this issue is illustrative of poor communication, because I think perhaps the legislature tried to solve a problem that they saw that the counties were going crazy about development on an ag ground, and it is would be fascinating to talk to some of these legislators to see what they thought they were voting for. But as in Canyon County, we're not the ones doing the consumption of agricultural land at all. It's the cities. And so nice try to fix a problem that doesn't exist, but we'll follow it anyway.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, really the ability that a county has to engage in that is about where you all will reapprove or approve differently those areas of impact that we'll have to do over the next year. While we have to give notice full political notice. This is kind of interesting because it's not like geographically specific. My intent was to send this draft to all the cities and say this is where we're at, because I think this is one that there's a lot of different information out there. So the fact that our proposal is saying you're not in an area of impact, you're not within a half mile of it, and if you're within a mile, we're asking your comments, I think that will, in my opinion, I think that will go a long way to the genuineness that you all have expressed, that we want to talk about these things and we want to engage in the joint planning. If not, I've already heard there's some counties where the cities are like, what are you doing to us, right? Because the counties still have that jurisdiction. We don't want to grind back to where we were a few years ago. So that's why we'll notice that, and then you may hear from those folks, and I think that'll be helpful to know if we've struck the right balance.
Sure.
And like I said, it's not super clear what notification is required. I mean, it's notified under Title 67, but it doesn't, the full political, like a fire district may not care. So we're just going to notify everybody, see if anybody has comments, and then we'll bring those all back to you.
Okay.
So I think I heard everybody's comfortable with those two changes. Summary publish, get it going to PNZ. We'll work with Aaron to be clear that it's out there. Here's how you make comment, what the deadlines are, and then we'll be back to you in December after we get something from PNZ.
I love the timing, because the December date gives the agricultural producers a little bit more flexibility with their working schedule to be present if they so desire. So.
And that's absolutely part of why, too, that even regardless, I mean, PNZ only has so many things that they can adjust and recommend, right? Like, right. We see how much is in the other color. That also gives time after PNZ and they see where that's at to give a written comment. You'll have a much longer, almost a month period between the two that you guys can consider that and solicit it.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to see changed, or are we good to good progress?
Good.
Okay, we'll be back. Thanks for all the help working through it. Make sure we all understand it.
Yep. I appreciate the work you did. That made it very easy to be able to get into your mind.
I'm going to always keep now the yellow and green, the John Deere colors, my highlights, because now we know.
It's good. Yeah, it's a win-win situation right there.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Do we want to pick up any other topic before the hour?
If you have questions for us, if not, our plan is to come back over the next couple weeks with some of the follow-up that we had about how projects get through timelines and where there's adjustments and not. So we'll be bringing that back, but we haven't gotten the full title report. We've ordered one on a property so we can all look at it together.
Okay.
And we have a generic one, so we want to make sure we're fully prepared for that and get you some stuff ahead of time, so that'll be coming.
Okay, perfect. Look forward to it.
So only if you have other questions for us. If not, we should probably note that in a rare chance we're...
A rare chance, yes. You can shout from the mountaintops.
6.5 minutes.
Got done early. All right. Sounds good. If there's nothing else...
Nope.
There is. All right, let's adjourn till our afternoon meeting. Thanks.